So we're here with Todd Parker, our generous donor.
Yep.
And also known as Todd the Truck Driver, which is because you you drive a truck.
That's correct.
So, yeah.
Very big truck, too.
Right, right. And then your relative, Sydney, is here as well.
Yep. My daughter.
Yes. And, Sydney, you're moving to Portland.
Yep. I'm going to school in PSU. It's pretty cool so far.
Excellent. So this is you are now a Portlander.
Yes.
You don't have to pass any tests. You don't have to get a certificate. You don't have to do whatever. You're just like, you live here now.
Yes. I'm just here now.
So have you been here before?
A few times when I went with him for my dad for a summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
She rode on the truck with me.
Oh, there we go. Co-piloting.
Yeah.
Sleeping.
There we go.
Okay. Jack slept more than I did.
Yes, he did.
Who's Jack?
My son.
My brother.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
He went the 2 years before she did.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Because I was too young, and then it moved ages, and it's like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, welcome to town. Did you bring a bicycle with you?
Yeah.
Excellent. So you're going to be set.
Yep.
Beautiful. And you've been listening to the show for a while now, so you know what to expect. You know where to go. You know that it's okay to ride on Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't make Sandy your first choice.
No. Get a few more city miles.
We
in
came over the Hawthorne first. Bridge and rode down Southeast Hawthorne. So
yeah, Hawthorne's not so bad.
It's nice. It's got a good bike lane.
Yeah, totally.
For a while. After 16th, I think it drops off.
Oh, right. So further east you go, the worse it gets.
I wouldn't say worse. What's that? It
goes through Lads.
You go through. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Lad Edition.
Through Lads.
Then. Most definitely. Yeah. That's kind of a. It, basically, the bike route deviates to the south there.
Right.
And brings you down to about, well, not here, because we're directly north of that. Anyways, that's all. That's all. Yeah. That's not interesting. We'll talk about other things.
And here's your lesson in Portland geography. Yes,
right.
Well, we were watching the commuters today while we were waiting to come over here.
Yeah.
And that. There's a lot of bikes to ride down Hawthorne.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's where they put that bike counter in on they have it on both ends or just the first end?
I think it's just on the west end.
They've got one on the new bridge, too, now.
Yes.
That starts counting people and tells you. We got there super early on Saturday morning, and there was already 200 people that had biked over the bridge.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
As I biked across, I yelled first. Just
Well, we're planning on taking it back.
Perfect, yeah. You know, the one thing I didn't consider is that the Hawthorne Bridge is flat, whereas the brand new Tillicum Bridge is it's an arch. So you have to go up one side and down the other.
It's a bit of a climb.
Yeah. The thing I liked about the new bridge is that they did delineate the space really well. Like they've got a lane marked out where you're supposed to ride your bike, and a lane marked out where people are supposed to walk, and it's pretty well marked on both. So I feel like the only problem you might have is that if you have like a faster bicyclist that isn't patient behind you, you might deal with some mode conflict there. But other than that, I think we have a perfect bridge.
Yeah.
And you know why it's perfect?
Because there's no cars there.
No cars. That's right.
So that's going to be cool.
Yeah. And Todd, how many times have you been to Portland? I mean, you come in and out frequently on your work trips, right?
Yeah, so. I probably get up here 4 times, 5 times a year.
Okay, not bad. Yeah. Not bad. And the last time you were here, you and I met up at the truck stop, which is really close to where I work.
Right.
Because that's where you weather overnight whenever you stay here.
Yeah,
because
it's a great truck stop.
Right, right. Yep. So did the grocery getter make its way here this time around?
Yes.
Nice. Is it outside right now?
Yeah.
I got to see
that. Yeah, where they're parked out front.
Nice, nice. Yep. So, yeah, you sent us some pictures some time back of your old truck.
Right.
Because now you own your own.
Yep.
But
it was outside in the weather and... Now it's inside.
There we go, because your cab is just that much bigger.
Well, no, I actually took out the passenger seat, so it actually has its own space now.
Yeah, that's right. That's interesting.
So I have more room. They took one of the cabinets out and the passenger seat, so it's all wide open.
That is
cool.
On
that one side, and I actually put the car rack, you know, like you put on your trunk of your car,
sure.
On the wall, so it sits on that rack inside the truck.
There we go.
Was that really complicated? Or
not really. The hardest part was finding a place to hook the hooks to hold the rack on.
Okay.
Yeah. But once I got that and got it all strapped, the rack's tight and the bike just sits right on it.
There we go. So it's secure. It's not. You'd have to worry about it like bopping around the cabin when you're driving.
Well, and
I don't
have to lock it up. It's inside the truck, and I'm not worried about it. You know, getting weathered on.
Right.
Snow. You know, like those pictures I sent you had 2 inches of snow on top of everything.
Right.
Plus, I bought a Brooks saddle. Didn't want that to get all weathered either.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Which Brooks saddle did you buy?
Just the regular B17.
Okay. Right now. Nice.
That's a black one. Well, actually, we were at the bike Hub is what it's called?
Yeah, Bike Hub.
Yeah, Bike Hub at PSU.
Oh, the PSU Bike Hub. Yeah.
They actually have a red one in there. I was like, oh, that's, I should have got that one.
Oh, okay. Red leather.
Yeah. Because my bike is black and red. So everything accessories is red, so the saddle would have looked cool on it.
That would have been pretty cool. Yeah.
Aaron, that's kind of your color scheme.
A little bit, yeah.
That's beautiful. And that Bike Hub, you're going to have to let us know how that is, because I've heard good things about it, and we've never had anybody in from that yet.
Not yet. No,
I don't know if Ian Studi is still there. I know he was working at the Bike Hub as kind of their coordinator. So I got to check in and see if he's still there. He would be a good guy for us to talk to.
He was working on the rental bikes, right?
Could be.
Because they have a few rental bikes in there, too.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's a nice little shop. It's got a good repair area.
Yeah.
And then it has a small retail area.
So the repair, is this people doing their own repairs?
No, they have their service.
They have mechanics.
They do their service, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Plus they rent out, it's a garage for bikes.
Okay.
Yeah. So they have like their own garage that they rent out.
Like you could rent a space for your bike?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And then they have it secured so you have the access to get in and out and everything to get your bike.
Very good. Very good. Excellent.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We were checking out today.
Right. So where have you been in town? All over.
Mostly on Matt's side of the river.
Oh, you were talking about the...
Downtown. We rode up and down downtown in Park Avenue, checking out Park Avenue.
Okay.
And then today we came over Hawthorne and rode around this area.
Nice. Yep. And you were talking about your truck being parked up by the river at the truck stop, and
right.
You took the yellow line to make that connection easier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I rode it yesterday down and then rode the train back and then rode the train this morning.
There we go. So excellent.
Commuting back and forth up there is a lot easier on the train.
Good to have options,
yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
Very good. So tell me about what does a typical day look like for you if you are on the road with your truck, you're hauling cargo. When does the bike come out and when does the bike stay in?
Well, on normal days, it's 10 hours of driving, 10 hours of sleeping, 10 hours of driving, 10 hours of sleeping. It's just nonstop. But once my hours run out, because we're regulated by the government for our hours we can drive.
What is the FMCSA. FMCSA, that's right, yes.
Are they
dictate
the
same people who regulate your hours, Brock?
Commercial, yeah.
Yeah, we have kind of an interesting situation because the Department of Education regulates my hours.
Okay.
Right.
But
he's within 150 miles of his home base, so the same rules don't apply.
Okay.
Yeah.
Different, like in your case, is long haul.
Right.
Different rules apply.
Exactly, okay. Yes. And it's all based on safety for on the road. Because
sure.
If you drive more than 11 hours a day, you're so fatigued that, you know, you can get in a car accident. They found that over the years, you know, it used to be non-regulated. And they found that almost all the crashes happened after the 12, 13 hours on the road. That's when trucks were driving off in the ditch, running people over, you know,
like
all that
hour
stuff.
13 or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So they cut that back to 11 and dramatically drop the percentage of accidents, you know.
Which is good.
Yeah, and now they've actually regulated a half-hour break, so you actually have to stop and take a lunch break within
the first
8 hours of the day so that it gives you a chance to get out of the truck and walk around and everything. And so that also helps with the accident rate.
Right.
Yep.
And it's getting easier and easier. I remember you were telling me that, like, you used to have paper logs and that sort of thing, and now you can do it with technology. Like, you can track your location by GPS. You can enter it all. Like, the computer can do all that paperwork for you. So it makes your office work a lot easier.
Oh yeah, exactly. And now they're doing it where it just automatically transmits straight back to the headquarters, so they get it real time.
Okay.
You know, so they know exactly where you are, what your hours are. You know, where you're at, if you're on time or delayed or whatever, what you're doing.
Yeah. Does that worry you at all, like Big Brother style, or is that totally cool with you?
It's cool with me because I'm not doing anything stupid. So, but there's a lot of old-time truck drivers that are just like, oh, this sucks so bad. It's not even funny.
I remember when I could make thousands of dollars by staying up for 3 days straight.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's like, well, you can only do that 3 or 4 times a year and then you're dead, you know? So.
Right. It seems like this is kind of like the tortoise and the hare, like the slow and steady wins the race.
That's
sort of
correct. It's like the speed limit too, you know, that everybody wants to speed everywhere. I mean, that's the worst thing I see on the road is speed limit 65 and all the cars are doing 75 or 80.
Sure.
Right.
All the trucks are trying to do 70, 75. So nobody's actually following the law.
Right.
You know, everyone's breaking the law. So is it really a law or is it just a suggestion?
Right.
You know, so, but it's the you only have 11 hours to drive. Whether you do 75 or 65, you're still going to get there. You still have only have 11 hours.
Right.
So it just depends on where you're going to stop for the night.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times stopping at the early spot is better because there's parking. If you try to push that extra hour or go faster to the next one, it might be full.
It's like rush hour for truck parking.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
So you got to weigh that out, you know, and
you end up on like some on-ramp off the side
exactly
of the road.
Exactly right. Yeah. Or the rest areas, which have no facilities, you know, they right. just have a bathroom and a soda machine, you know,
right.
there's nothing there.
And sometimes you want dinner at the Ponderosa Lodge
exactly.
And a movie and free popcorn.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Those are all the choices you have to make every day to figure out what you're going to do for that day.
Yeah. Do you say that Portland has the nation's best truck stop?
Jubitz is a really nice truck stop.
Okay. I mean, maybe not the best.
Well, it's a truck stop. You're
sure.
dealing with truckers, so
right,
you know.
Right.
But as far as all the amenities there, it's one of the best. For
okay.
The amenities.
Yeah.
You know,
nice,
it has
nice.
A lot of great stuff. Plus, they don't have fast food there.
Oh, really?
You know, they're not sponsored by Taco Bell or KFC or
I never thought
you know,
about
McDonald's.
That.
All these other truck stops, that's what they are. You pull in there, Subway's at almost all of them.
Right.
After 3 or 4 days of Subway, you don't want to eat Subway anymore.
Right.
There's only
right.
so much bread and cheese
exactly,
one person can take.
Exactly right.
Well, it's the funny thing about like their bread has this weird flavor to it.
That's right.
Like, it's not terrible, but it's not great. And like,
right.
Yeah, again.
Well, it's not bread.
It's, yeah,
I mean,
okay.
it doesn't taste like bread.
That's
it
right.
tastes like something. Something
right.
I don't know.
It's
like,
processed.
Like, it's more bread than bread.
Yes.
Right, right.
Yep.
So,
and that's the problem. After three of those sandwiches, you're like, okay, I don't want to eat this anymore.
Totally.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing you got to look for is where you're going to stay. And there's apps on the phone that, you know, show all the truck stops in the whole nation. You
sure.
know, so you can see everywhere.
And you called your bike the grocery getter.
Yes, because like I said, on our hours, if you get past 70 hours, you have to take a break.
Oh, sure.
And it's mandatory. You got to take 34 hours off. Well, during that 34-hour break, it's to reset your hours so that you can run another 70. But that time, you're not going anywhere. You can't drive anywhere, so you can't move the truck.
So you could be like out in, you know, I don't know, like West Florida or something.
Well, a lot
you know,
of times you're just at another truck stop,
okay.
you know, somewhere on the highway. Well, there might be a Walmart or a Safeway or a grocery store 3 miles away.
But you can't drive there.
Right, you can't drive there so because you can't move the trucks.
Right,
And they don't have parking for a truck either. They have a loading dock in the back, but they won't let you park there.
They don't want you there.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't want you parked where the cars are either.
Is it okay if I put this box of mattresses right here
well,
in your way?
It's 75 feet long, 8 feet wide.
Right.
It's kind of hard to fit in some spots.
Totally. Sure. So the grocery getter is there both to get you like some exercise to get out in the fresh air
exactly.
and so you can move around when you're not allowed to move in your truck.
Right. And I can go shopping. I can go get groceries so that when I do stop somewhere, I have food on the truck, you know. Because a lot of times you get stuck, you know, it's like, oh, I got to park here. I got to park in the rest area.
Right.
So I need some food on the truck to eat with.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and having fresh food is a whole lot better than Subway or Jack, you know, Taco Bell.
Any
what
number of, yeah.
McDonald's is the biggest one. McDonald's is on everything.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least their coffee's better than it used to be.
Well, I don't drink coffee, so.
Oh, okay. Right.
So it's that choice. It's, you know, start eating fresher or really get bigger than I am.
Sure. And that's a choice that all of us are faced with.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Exactly. And the older I get, you know, I'm 50 now, so the older I get, the harder it is.
Uh-huh.
You know. So it's more important to stay healthier the older
right.
you get.
Apologize for that fruit fly, by the way. It
that's
seems like
all right.
he's made
he
his home in our
me.
Yeah. I think you might have actually fisted that. Yeah,
almost.
That's good.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've got the bike on with you, and I remember there was that story about you at was it the Mall of America or where were you that you were looking for a bicycle rack trying to lock up?
Oh, that was in Pennsylvania. Oh,
okay.
And what was funny is that was actually a rest area.
Oh, it was
that we were parked at, but they had a gate in the fence so you can get through to the main to the regular road. So I was looking, you know, on my map, you know, Google Maps, and well, it's actually Apple Maps that I use on my phone, and you know, the satellite view. I'm like, oh, this road's right here, and it goes right to the mall. It was only a mile away.
Uh huh.
And I was looking to go to the Apple Store to check out the new phone.
Oh, gotcha.
Because they had an Apple Store at the mall. And I'm like,
right.
Okay. So I talked to the guy inside, and he goes, yeah, we got a gate right there, And it's one of those gates where it's got a fence on both sides, but it's a hole in the middle, so you got to kind of squeeze through.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't look like there's a hole there until you get right up to it. And then I was like, oh, look at that. Fit the bike right through. Rode the mile over to the mall, and then I actually rode 2.5 miles around the mall to find the one bike rack.
Like the one that existed
there.
They had
one. Yeah, one bike rack for the whole mall.
The biggest mall.
Yeah, it's a huge mall. It's got parking for days all around. In fact, they had two parking garages, one on one side and one on the other side.
Of course.
Yeah. Full parking garage and one single bike rack.
Right. I'm sure.
And it was one of the taco benders, too.
Oh, right. Oh. So it wasn't really the best. It was not optimal.
No.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. And it, no bike lane, no access. I mean, they're weaving in and out of cars to get around through there, and it was a Christmas time too.
Oh,
so it was major traffic.
Yeah. Well, how was the weather then?
It was cold, but it wasn't snowing or raining or anything.
Okay,
so it
wasn't
bad. No. Yeah.
Were you the only bike to lock up there?
Oh yeah. Yep. Yep. There weren't any other bikes anywhere around. In fact, when you're going around, you can see all the loading docks where the employees park and stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No bikes in there either.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you would expect usually at some, like, because there's fast food establishments, there's, like, all these places where, like, young people would probably, like, people who don't have their own cars.
Right, exactly.
You would expect.
Yeah. Yep. But somebody's driving them over there and dropping them off or picking them up.
Right, right.
Yeah. Oh, and they had a huge bus section, too.
Okay.
On one side in between the two parking garage that had all these buses parked there. You know, but no bike racks, no nothing.
Of course not. Yeah.
This is not Portland. This is somewhere
else. No, yeah. No. In fact, that was north of Philadelphia, I think.
Okay.
That's where I was at.
Nice. I got lost south of Philadelphia. I think I told that story last week.
Yeah.
It's a confusing place over there.
It is.
Expressways and whatnot.
Well, and yeah, you pay to drive or you can ride for free and they don't go to the same place.
True. Quite true. What's your favorite memory so far of having been out with the grocery getter and the truck? And what would you say is like maybe one of your high points?
Actually in Pennsylvania. But it was not
not at the mall.
Not by the mall. It was up northern Pennsylvania. I rode to a bike shop. I wanted to go get a new tube for my bike. So I looked it up, you know, see if there was a bike shop around. It was about 11 miles from where I was parked. And riding down there, it's in Amish country.
Oh, yeah.
So they have these huge shoulders for the buggies.
Oh, right.
It was
great for bicycling.
So nice. Yeah, they're exactly like the lane, but they're huge. They're their own lane. It's really a lane with a divider, and you can ride right down on the road, and it was super smooth, and it was rolling hills.
Yeah.
So you coast down, ride up, coast down, ride up, all the way into town.
Not bad at all.
It was this really historic-looking old town.
Yeah.
You know, with the old buildings and everything. And this bike shop was right on the edge of town in this brand new building. Didn't even look like it belonged there. But it was a great shop. The guy said he'd been there like, I don't know, 30 years or something.
Okay.
And really? Really beautiful shop. Had nice bikes in there and everything. It was great.
Yeah.
But it was something to do that day. It was a 34-hour reset. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to ride down to the bike shop.
One of your layovers. Yeah.
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 Yep. So I made a nice day. It was a really beautiful day and the beautiful road.
Yeah. Did you encounter any Amish buggies while you were riding in that area?
In town, there was like this restaurant, and they had a parking area for the buggies.
Okay.
In the grass.
Yeah.
You know, and it had the old style.
Like a hitching post?
Yeah, the hitching post.
Nice.
Oh, really?
So they pull up with their buggies at the hitching post in the grass, so the horses are standing in the grass.
Oh, yeah.
And they would go in and ate at the restaurant.
There you go.
And they had a car parking section on the other side.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I was like, look at that.
I would be really tempted to like park my bike and lock it to one of the hitching
posts. Yeah. I'm a little bit curious because there's that whole thing like the Kentucky Amish communities, a couple of their bishops or elders or whatever said that they can finally ride bikes.
Yep.
And I'm curious to see kind of how that changes those areas and what, because it's one of those things where like one of the benefits of Amish country is that you have a lot of people that are used to seeing alternate modes of transport.
Correct.
And I wonder if it would be any easier for bicycling to gain traction in those areas because of that. Like people have learned to be patient, learned to be kind to people that don't travel the same way that they do. So maybe that's a thing. Who knows?
And the speed differential too.
Right.
They slow the roads down because the buggies are going so slow.
Sure. Yeah, so you don't want to spook the horses.
Yeah, so you're on a U.S. highway that most U.S. highways in country are 55 and up. You know, where when you're in Amish country, it's 45 or below.
Right.
So, you know you're in that area because the speed limits drop so much.
Totally. Yeah.
But yeah, we were talking about the U-locks and stuff. It was, I was just thinking, all those buggies parked there, you think somebody would walk up and steal one of their buggies?
Right. You would think probably not. But that's the thing. You can
How
run
are they
away.
Locking them up?
You can run away with a bike, but most people don't know how to drive horses or teams of horses
exactly.
anymore. Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering about that the other day, just, having horses on the mind, I think, because I'd seen them being used for transportation. It's like, what if I had a horse in Portland and I just rode it around? But I don't really have the facilities to own a horse or keep a horse. And then
it's a little bit higher maintenance than a bike.
Right. Yeah. And I'm at work for so long that, I wouldn't want to leave my horse tied up for 10 hours, from 7 a.m. till 5 p.m. Yeah, yeah. I would need a livery of some kind. But I bet I could find that up there. I bet, I bet there's somewhere I could keep a horse. Right, well, but it's just I don't think that asks more questions than it answers. Probably.
Yeah,
so. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I would forget to feed it.
Right.
There are reasons why I don't have.
Oh, pets. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And then you have to shovel the poop and everything
right.
too. So I guess there's all kinds of It's having a horse would be untenable.
That is the one thing that's different here in Portland. I was talking to Sydney earlier about. We went to New York. Walked around and everything, and
people don't shovel their poop in New York.
But that's the city's kind of the same with the bikes and the cars and pedestrians. It's just alive. There's lots of people out in the street. Everybody's out. And Portland's like that. But what you don't have here is horses.
Oh, true.
New York has horses. The cops are riding them. They have the carriages. They're out on the street.
You see
horses.
True.
You see horses in New York.
But it's,
but not it's, here.
It's more of a novelty at that point.
David, you're saying there's two horses in Portland?
We have two mounted cops.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and there is a stable down off of NATO?
I think they moved now. I think they're run by the Hawthorne Bridge foot.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
okay.
So they do park patrol?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, cool.
Up and down the Springwater, the Esplanade.
And special events.
Yeah. Two horses in Portland. Yeah.
Where they can – but if they have grass and they can move around easier,
right,
so it's not so hard on them. Yeah,
right.
The special fancy Velcro shoes or whatever.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Well, that's the thing in New York, they'll have rubber horseshoes, the steel ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So they can walk on pavement.
Right, yeah. So they have grip on the pavement.
I would prefer the horse patrols to the ATV patrols on the Springwater Corridor.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what the fuck was up with that. Again, I was out just a couple weeks ago. And,
really?
Two mounted ATV cops just blazing down this multi-use path that is famously non-motorized access.
Right,
no
right.
kidding.
Yeah, so I don't know what's up with that. Portland Police doesn't like to respond to their Twitter.
There are horses along
right.
the spring.
Yeah, they can
trail.
Ride on the trail. Yeah.
There are horses in Gresham.
There's a bunch of farms around the Gresham and Boring area.
Oh, and the crosswalk buttons that are at horse-mounted rider height.
House height. Yep. Yeah, horse height.
Totally. Yeah.
That's at the toll plazas. There's actually truck height ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when we pull up, there's the car and the truck. And they actually, when you take the ticket out, it actually knows that you're a truck. It measures
really?
The height. So
nice.
So it kicks the ticket out at your level, not down at the bottom.
Perfect.
You still
perfect.
Have to get out of
yeah, so it doesn't kick out double tickets,
Nice. I was curious, Todd, do you want to talk a little bit about freight and transport? Because we talk a lot about simpler living, and a lot of that has to do with using less petroleum. But all of us like to order things from Amazon, and all of us like to, we all like having toilet paper here when we want it. So.
And that's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah. So.
Oh, well.
What's a good way to think about,
paper travels all across this country in every form, from trees to recycled paper. It literally travels across the country everywhere you go. And it's in fact, it travels more than plastic.
Uh-huh.
Plastic's made in factories close by where they use it. And paper is shipped everywhere.
Okay, yeah.
And it's incredible. And, I've actually hauled it, everything except for the logs, in every form other than logs.
Okay.
Huh.
And from Georgia to here, and from here to Arizona, from Arizona to New York, all different routes.
All over.
Yeah.
Various types of paper products.
Right. And recycled is big now because they found out it's so much cheaper to recycle it and use it again that they pay for the shipping. that was the big problem, was paying for the shipping to recycle it. So now we spend a lot of time with big bundles of recycled paper.
It turns out it's pretty lucrative to move it around and rehash it, other things. Yep. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and they, you know, most all the paper is turned back into cardboard.
Sure.
So that's where they use a lot. And newsprint, too. Newsprint's almost all recycled.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Yeah. It's such a light and kind of just, thin paper.
Right. Yep. So they it's pretty cool. It's a nice cycle that they use.
Sure. Yeah.
And
people be if people are concerned about how much fuel they're using, like how should people frame that in their minds from your perspective as a trucker?
Well, like I said, slow down.
Okay.
Obey the law. That's a big one. I mean, literally 99% of the vehicles on the road are breaking the law.
Okay.
99. I mean, everywhere I go, I'm the only one going the speed limit.
And probably burning excess fuel at that point.
Correct.
Right?
That's like the problem.
They're operating above their
efficiency. After a certain speed limit.
The reason we had the 55-mile speed limit in the 70s was Jimmy Carter actually
The sweater speech?
Well, no, he did a survey. He commissioned a survey to find out what's the best place to make fuel efficiency. Where can we save gas?
Okay.
And they found out that at 55 miles an hour is where the aero efficiency comes in.
I see.
So below 55, you could drive a brick down the road and still get the same mileage.
Right.
But over 55, you better be shaped like a bullet so you can get good mileage. So that's where that's the cutoff is at 55 miles an hour. They didn't just come up with some random number. That's how they found it, was the aero efficiency.
Okay.
With that, Sammy Hagar too. Yeah. Exactly. He couldn't stand it one bit. But that's what it is. It's that aero efficiency. So every mile an hour over that, you lose a percentage of efficiency.
Okay.
And the wind resistance comes into play.
Sure.
And you can feel it in a truck. I mean, like I'm doing 65 miles an hour and I got a 10 mile an hour headwind, you can watch the mileage.
It
dips just right down.
So if you slow down to 55, that doesn't affect you anymore.
Oh.
The wind isn't a problem anymore.
Okay.
Because you're not fighting it. It's not as much drag onto the truck.
Right. Yep.
So that's the biggest thing is if they want to save fuel miles, slow down.
Okay. There you go. So you got to pass that along to your friends then.
Oh, everybody. I tell everybody. There isn't any place that you're in a hurry to get to.
Sure.
And you guys know that riding a bike, you got to plan how far you're going to go.
Most definitely.
And when you got to be there.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's the whole thing. It's planning. The most people that are running late, it's because they didn't plan. So they're going
to
burn up.
You plan to fail.
Exactly right. So they burn up fuel to get to wherever they're going because they're late.
Sure.
They didn't plan ahead.
No. Portland drivers, what would it take to get you to leave 10 minutes early?
Right, exactly.
For your commute?
How can we get you out of a car today?
Turn off the TV earlier and go to bed earlier, and then you can get up on time.
There you go.
What were you going to say, Sydney?
Yeah, even teaching me and Jack to drive, he's like, if you don't want to like speed, go early, like leave early. Yeah.
Right.
That's it.
You need to get somewhere, leave early.
Right. So. And you can almost never make up time. Like if you're late for something, it's not like you can like cruise there faster.
Never. Yeah. You can
not
never
because your
make up
vehicle's
time.
Not capable of it, but because like the rest of the world won't let you do that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and it is a time traveler. I mean, it's people were only made to walk 2.5 miles an hour.
Sure.
So traveling at 80 miles an hour, you're traveling through time.
Right. Totally. Yeah. And as we all know, time travel wears on your body. All the science fiction movies have told us that. You don't want to do that.
Eat some peanuts. Bring your towel.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Don't panic. Have a towel. Yep. But the simpler living is, living in a truck. I live in that truck.
Sure. It's like a tiny house.
It is. It's a tiny house without a bathroom. So.
Do you want to talk at all about people peeing in bottles?
Is this like the most common question you ever get about?
It is. Because it's the most visual thing.
Right.
People see them on the side of the highway. They're in the truck stops. It's
like saving it for later.
No, it's being lazy. Really, it is.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, because most of the truck parking, you're within 100 yards of a bathroom.
Right.
So if you can't get up and walk 100 yards, there's something wrong.
You know, your problems are bigger than just me.
Exactly
to
right. Yes. You know, and it's a frustration from being on the road, being tired, traveling so much that you just don't care anymore.
Right.
Mm. And a lot of drivers, it seems that way. They're just not made it built up for being a truck driver.
Sure.
It's not their life. It's like we were talking about, you know, being exploring the city.
Uh-huh.
Some people like to explore a city. Some people like to sit at home and watch TV.
True. Sure.
You know, so there's different people do different things, you know. And like I was saying, if you got a guy that's a farmer sitting in a truck traveling all over the world, he doesn't want to be there.
That's right. You emailed us about this a long time ago.
Yeah, he does not want to be there. So his whole life is a negative. He's just negative about life.
He's working against what he would naturally do.
Yeah, his natural instinct.
So he's just going to throw those pee bottles wherever he wants.
Or the U-lock. He just doesn't want to be there. He's going to throw a U-lock. And those are the guys that, like I said, they give trucking a bad name because everywhere they go, they're mad.
Yeah. Sure.
They yell at the girl at the cashier. She has nothing to do with his life. But he's going to yell at her because he has to spend a dollar extra for a soda or something.
I'm a urine farmer, damn it.
Exactly. You know. So that's really the problem with trucking altogether is people that shouldn't be there are doing it.
Right.
You know, because it actually has become an easier job than people think.
Well, there's a lot of concessions that have been made these days. Not concessions, I guess, but like there's a lot of amenities that make your job easier than it used to be.
That's correct. Yeah.
For example, you can listen to our show.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah. Everybody calls, oh, your show's just long enough for my commute. I'm like, I'm just getting started.
Yeah.
That's my first podcast in the morning. Yeah.
So what was the other you were talking about, like people that natural farmers Yeah, people that are naturally like farmers, like people that should be taking care of a certain place and staying put,
right,
that are traveling, and that's why they're unhappy. So are there people that in this theory?
The hunters.
Hunters,
the
that's
hunters.
Right. That was the
guys
other
that
one.
Go out and hunt, they always want to be on the move. They always want to go see the next thing over the hill.
They want to explore.
They're exploring, They're always out for the next thing.
Right.
You know, and they're happy when they're doing that. You know, when they sit at home and they're farming and they're just miserable too. You know, so a lot of people don't realize their own natural instinct.
So you're a bit of a hunter yourself.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I love it. You know, and my wife, she's a farmer. She wants to stay at home.
Right.
She hates traveling.
Uh-huh. You know?
Sid's a hunter, too. She likes being on the road. My
there
son,
we go.
He went. He didn't like it at all.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
He likes seeing everything. But the actual just being on the road, you know, it's like, when are we going to be there? When are we going to be there? When are we going to be there? Whereas Sid enjoyed every minute of it. She's like, oh, that's new. That's new. That's new. That's new.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
Do you think people ever change that personality type or disposition? Like, do you think people go from being like an adventurer to being less adventurous? I haven't seen it.
No.
Yeah.
Dealing with people on the road, you see different people all the time and – once they're stuck in that routine, they don't get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of times, like I said, the ones that are angry, that just don't enjoy it, they're the most vocal about it, too.
Okay,
so,
sure.
You know, it's like, oh, okay, that guy doesn't need to be driving a truck.
Right.
Yeah. And I've noticed a lot more women, too, have been driving. It's because it's become easier to do. It's more open to women.
It's become more accessible.
Maybe fewer.
A little bit, but it's more that we don't have to unload the trucks anymore.
Sure.
You know, back in the day, the driver got out and he pulled all the pallets off the trailer into the dock. The dock workers wouldn't touch it.
Okay.
You know, they would only touch it when it's on the dock, not in the truck.
Right.
So the driver had to unload. So that was the reason you had big burly guys driving trucks, is so they can unload the truck. So, but now nobody does that. You know, you pull up to a dock, most of the time you're dropping the trailer in their yard and they'll put it in the dock and unload it at their convenience.
I see.
See? So all I got to do is get it to their yard.
All those pallets and whatnot outside the Home Depot wrapped in the
exactly.
Wrap.
That's all their convenience when they have time to get to it. So it's a lot easier. So all you have to do is just drive the truck. You park the trailer, drive the truck, pick up a new trailer, go pick up another trailer somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, and it seems like gender prejudice is probably, like, less of an issue than it used. Like, the world is changing. And
oh, yeah,
like, the society in general is becoming more open. So, like, women probably feel more comfortable in these jobs than they would have before, where before it was, like, all these old boys kind of like, hey, hey. So, yeah.
And I've noticed, too, a lot of now it's retired couples.
Oh, sure.
Like, the husband's been driving for 30 years.
Team drivers.
The wife retires. She gets on the truck. He teaches her how to drive. And they go out as a team.
There we go.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's better than an RV, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's more lucrative anyway.
Well, that's right. They're all that money's going right in their retirement. You know?
Sure,
they get rid
sure.
of the house and all the other stuff when the kids are gone. And
right.
It's money in the bank at that point.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. It's good to see you.
Yeah, it was great.
Thanks for spending some time in the studio with us.
Yeah.
Anything you want to leave the listeners with? Anything you want to hear yourself say later?
Yeah, enjoy the ride. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the nice thing about the bike is just getting out of the truck.
Right.
And getting away from the truck and riding around, you know, because a lot of guys, you get stuck in that truck and just, you know, it's like being in a cell.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally the size of a prison cell. You know, and if you never open the door, you're in a prison cell.
Sure, sure. You know? Yeah.
And now we're back to toilet wine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good place to end up then.
Yeah.